The council will bring our, we're going to bring our meeting to order. At this time, we'll ask Ms. James, the city clerk, would you please call the roll of the city council?
Yes, sir. Honorable Mayor Mario Avery.
Present.
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
The Honorable Pat Pallon.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
Mr. Mayor, you have a quorum.
Okay, thank you so much. At this time, we'll have the invocation by Pastor Taylor of Open Word Christian Ministries.
Father, first of all, we thank you for your auspicious grace and mercy that you lavishly bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for mayor and council that as they go into these sessions, Lord, that they're able to make the decisions that will bring about peace, prosperity, and unity in our fair city of Fairburn. We give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 At this time, Dr. Parsha will play the Pledge of Allegiance.
No.
To the ideals of our forefathers, the men who fought and died in the building of this great nation. It's a pledge to fulfill our duties and obligations as citizens of the United States and to uphold the principles of our Constitution. And last but not least, it's a pledge to maintain the four great freedoms cherished by all Americans: freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty
for that great song. At this time, members of council, during our last city council meeting, I mentioned that I would give a report at the 100-day mark of our administration due to what looks like maybe a real long agenda at our next council meeting. Today actually marks the, yesterday actually marked 90 days of the of this administration, and my goal was to bring a report, basically a report of the government today, at our next council meeting, but because of the length of time that I believe we're gonna be here, I want to go ahead and give that report today. We'll go ahead in this case, at the 90-day mark, the city of Fairburn has several items and areas that we're looking into. And my goal is simply to make sure I give both publicly and politically for the members of the legislative body a report. Go to our first slide. In this case, we'll review of day-to-day operation to determine efficiency and effectiveness of the leadership team. An assessment is being done by the city administrator and myself, and our goal is to simply, in summary, is to ensure that the leadership team that you see featured here is a representation of what you expect as it relates to efficiency and leadership. And our goal is to improve our service levels. That's the summary of why this review is going on. Next slide. There's an assessment, assessing public safety for proper procurement of equipment, vehicles, and readiness. One of the first areas we're going to do, we're going to actually purchase a new fire truck because of some of the issues that we've had with our fire department in terms of equipment. We felt the need, it was already a budgeted item in this case, to go ahead and purchase a fire truck so that our readiness would actually be A1. The next thing, police department is nearing full staffing despite the shortage that's going on both regionally and statewide. As I talked to other mayors and other governments about the police department and their lack of ability to hold on to various officers, which means they are losing institutional knowledge almost instantly. One of the things that we reported, our chief of police reported in our last council meeting, that again, we've already had a reduction, 8% reduction in crime rate this time last year. One of the things that we're very proud of, we've hired 8 new firefighters. Again, state law requires that both police and fire departments have a minimum number of people based on the every so many thousand people you have. And again, our goal, as I mentioned during the State of City Address, our staffing levels were at dangerous lows for citywide. And so our goal right now, as we go through the budget and again, and even as we prepare to bring our daily operation procedures and SOPs up to speed, we have to increase our service levels. We can only do that if we've got enough people on staff to actually do the job. One of the things you're seeing, we're preparing to upgrade a deplorable living conditions that are currently in one of our fire stations. The city manager actually, and the city administrator, excuse me, back in January, along with our city inspector, we went to one of our stations. And again, we were just not pleased with the conditions that this is one of the few jobs where the men and women that are actually employed in that department actually sleep in these quarters. And so we're right now looking at an avenue of how we're going to possibly contract to ensure that the living conditions are at least respectable levels. Next slide. We're assessing procurements from 2018 to 2021 to determine if items require proper city council approval. We've just, in my review of various items, I've found that we did, for whatever reason, items did not receive council approval. I'm going to bring one of the items for discussion next at the city council meeting about the mural that's downtown. I've already had a couple of discussions where that item did not receive the proper city council approval despite going through the request for proposal process. Again, this is just in our efforts to ensure that all members of council are given the due respect that the people elected them to do, and that is to vote on the items that's required by for council approval. Next slide. Our legal team brought you a couple of meetings ago, established a hearing policy of grant due process for people that are doing business with us, whether they'll be vendors, contractors. Our goal is simplicity, is to ensure that we upgrade all of our policy procedures, especially when the situation where a vendor may try to accuse us of not giving them due process. Again, the city administrator, along with the city legal team, have been putting in numerous hours going through various areas of our government, looking at areas to ensure that due process is given. As a person that's in the compliance industry, that is something that I'm very adamant about. Again, we may not be able to give vendors what they want or even award contracts, but they should not walk away from here saying they were not given due process. Next item. We're in the midst of acquiring and assessing facts and documentation regarding residents' complaints about homes built in Durham Lake since 2018 and currently underway. That report, you'll get further report by the city administrator tonight in his city administrator's report as it relates to that subject matter. Next item. We're assessing construction management services charged with ensuring efficient, effective, and quality work. As I arrived the city, and as several members of council has brought it to my attention in some cases, actually in their living resident area, where the quality of work, for whatever reason, was just not what they expected when they approved this type of contract. And so the city administrator already had, as recent as last week, a meeting with one of the top managers in one of our construction manager firms. And he's basically made it clear that this is the level of quality of work we expect. And again, we're even in the midst of possibly having to renegotiate some of those work agreements, because to ensure that the scope of services that is actually agreed to will actually accomplish the level of efficiency that members of council expected when they approved these contracts. Next item. We're preparing a technological fiscal budget program that allows residents to see every dollar spent by the government. As you just witnessed during the workshop, that's this item that our goal in simplicity is to ensure that we not only can account for every dollar, but that our residents have an avenue by which they can actually go online without having to call the government, without even having to call you as a city council member, and look and determine what was spent. One of the other things that this program will offer us, it allows us to forecast and look at what is it that we're trying to do, a capital project that we want to pay, and look at what's currently in the budget versus what is the overall cost, and determine how many years, or how many fiscal years in this case, it would actually required to achieve the particular type of capital project that we deem necessary for the city to grow. Next item. Again, you heard me talk about addressing dangerous low staffing levels that have negatively impacted service levels between the finance department, building, streets, utilities, and code enforcement. We're at the state of city address, I had already gone around the city, looked around some of the different areas. And again, a lot of the complaints by our residents right now is strictly, we don't have the people in place to do the work. And so there's no way in the world that you can expect. We've got a couple of departments where the people that are in charge of the department are operating almost as a one-man show. And it's almost physically impossible for these men and women that are in that particular capacity to actually manage all this different construction, all these different issues, and still address customer complaints. It's just virtually impossible, humanly impossible for these people to operate. So as such, we're addressing the staffing levels as quickly as we can. Again, we're not just bringing people in. We're trying, our goal, and we're sending them through a due process to ensure, number one, they're qualified to do the work. Next item. As you just heard, an update on our travel policy, ensure they align with state and federal policy. As Mr. Whitmore mentioned, a conversation he and I had back in January, along with the city administrator. Again, this is, again, just as we go through all our different policies, both for policies for residents, as well as policies as relates to that directly impact the legislative body. The goal is simple. We want to bring some form of consistency. I believe it was Councilwoman Davis that mentioned that. We're simply trying to bring in alignment, a level of consistency of what is expected to be done anytime we, in this case, when we're dealing with travel. Next item. Okay. As you see, the city addressed the city's non-compliance status from 2022 and 2021 with the federal EPD. We did receive a notice, I believe it was mid-February, whereby we were required by the EPD to mail in a utility bill. They laid out step-by-step areas, the things that we had to do as a government for them to deem our government as being in compliance with the EPD as it relates to a non-compliance status. As we prepare to reopen our government to the public on May the 2nd, 2022 at 8 a.m. Properly, our goal is to simply ensure that we put the protocols in place. We're working on right now, the staff is having staff meetings and right now to ensure that every avenue possible that we can think of that can be addressed to minimize any harmful exposure. With the exception of the city court, the government as a whole will be open, with the exception of the city court, which will remain virtual for the time being right now due to a state law or a state court ruling by a judge. And so we're in the midst of right now being excited about bringing our residents back to City Hall. And again, that will start on May the 2nd. Finally, we're proud to invite the public to our first citywide event tomorrow night at Duncan Park for kids ages 2 to 12, Tuesday night, April the 12th from 6 p.m. to 8. Again, this item had was rescheduled from last Saturday. And so in our efforts due to weather conditions, this was the first available date that we thought we could actually reschedule. And we're asking the public to please come out and support and bring your children. Our goal at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, we love to provide efficient service. We love to provide and brag about projects that are coming up. But at the end of the day, it's about the family. And so we're trying to bring our family to Duncan Park at our first citywide event tomorrow night. Again, thank you so much. And at this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to adopt the city council agenda with the removal of item number 2. Is there a motion? I'd like to entertain the adoption of the agenda with the removal of item number 3, excuse me.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
I've heard the second by Mr. Smallwood. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Okay, at this time, we will now have an adoption of the minutes from the February 28th, 2022 regular meeting. Is there a motion?
Mayor.
So moved.
Is there Mayor. A second?
Second. Councilman.
Are there any corrections?
I'm sorry. There are some corrections, Mayor. Okay.
Go ahead, Ms. Davis.
Yes, on the February 28th minutes, there were pertinent discussions and questions on several of the agenda items. However, the minutes only show resolutions. They only show who motioned, who second. So I have some concerns with this, Mayor, because there were some discussions and some questions that really led to us going into executive session. And I think that those discussions need to be summarized in a concise way under each of these agenda items.
Okay, Ms. City Clerk, you want to comment to that?
I would have
was Ms. Ray
to go Ray. Back and look at them. She wasn't there either. Neither clerk was at that meeting that night. So I know she got the motions and everything from it, but if it's something specific that you're looking for, we can go look at it.
Yeah, well, I think we need to go back and look at the tape because there were several agenda items. If there were questions and discussions that is pertinent to us coming to a decision.
Okay. We'll bring those minutes back at our next city council meeting. Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Was that your same concern for the March the 28th special call meeting?
No.
Is there a motion to approve this?
Okay, we had a motion on the floor to approve, and she had that, so they need to.
Okay, in this case.
That's why I was trying to catch the mayor before.
Yeah, no problem. Ms. James, in the proper, I just want to make sure the proper protocol in this case would actually make it thinking of proper terminology to change the motion to hold.
Okay, Mr. Whitmore made the motion, I believe, and Councilmember Heath made the second.
Okay. Right. Wasn't Councilman Whitmore? No.
Okay, then it must have been.
It was Smallwood.
Smallwood.
Is that you can. Is a substitute motion, is in order, Ms. City Clerk?
Yeah, if they don't want to rescind their motion, then she can make a substitute motion to hold it.
Okay.
I'll rescind it and make a substitute motion to hold.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And a substitute motion has been made to hold. Is there a second?
Second, mm-hmm. Councilwoman Davis.
Okay. Any questions about the substitute motion? Mm-hmm. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. You have before you the minutes for the special call special call minutes from March the 28th. Is there a motion? Seeing none, that motion fails for lack of a motion. You have before your regular meeting minutes from March the 28th. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Heath.
Mr. Heath, is there any comments or corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, we will now go in our public comment. Ms. City Clerk,
Mr. Mayor, can I ask a question, please?
Yes, ma'am.
I know the minutes, there was no motion or anything, so there's no discussion, or do they want us to bring them back or what?
I guess in this case.
I didn't have a problem with the minutes. I read it. I didn't have a problem with the minutes.
Yeah, we didn't get a motion to take any action on it. So
how can we bring it back to the floor? Is that procedurally? How do we do that?
Yeah.
In this case, because we haven't moved away from the minutes yet, we can still make a motion. Is that not correct, Ms. City Clerk?
I'm reading your policies over here. Can I get some help, Mr. Attorney?
Yeah, you can bring it. It needs to be brought back.
Okay. We'll just bring the item back. We'll bring the item back. Okay.
Tonight or at a future meeting?
We'll bring it back we'll bring it back at the next council meeting.
Next council meeting.
Yeah, it died, but it was not defeated. So you can bring it back at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Mayor, you can ask a question?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
In light of this coming back at the next council meeting, and in light of the email that I sent to you, the attorney, and the city administrator, pertaining to this, and I think it's prudent that the citizens be able to see it as well. So my question is whether or not that email that I submitted can be also added to these minutes from the 28th, but it'd be on the date that I sent my email, or should I wait till the night of and ask for it to be included in?
Mr. City Attorney, should he actually, in this case, just the night of, bring it back in, but we'll put it in the packet knowing that it's going to be considered. What's the proper protocol for that?
He should bring it the night of.
Okay, and then at which time I'll bring the not only the questions, but the answers from the Ms. Attorney Noel. Okay, we'll bring it that night, Mr. Whitmore.
Thank you. Avery, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Colleagues, as you recall, I believe it was in either late 2018 or 2019, we approved rules of decorum for this body, and included in that decorum was the requirement that we state, if we abstain from any vote, that we state for the record why we abstain. We can't just abstain to be abstaining. And so, and I am bringing this up as it relates to this same issue that we're discussing. And I'd like to know what is proper protocol to have that brought forth as well.
Well, Ms. Jones, as a result of your concern, Ms. Noel actually sent the email to the two members of council that abstain. We'll bring that item back, because again, I looked into the rule, the quorum that was adopted, I believe in early 2018, it was actually, that is proper protocol for the members of council to be actually explained to why someone is abstaining regardless of the purpose. And again, that email was sent to those two members, and that item, that email we brought back during the next city council meeting, well, when we were discussing the minutes.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
We did get those answers today. Actually, Mr. Smallwood did send his reason to the city attorney.
Okay.
That he was late on the meeting, so he did not feel that he could vote on the matter. And the matter with Councilman Heath was that the attorney said she received it after the time that it was supposed to be in. Therefore, it had to be an extension because it couldn't come in later.
It was subsequent to, it was, the decision was due on April the 7th. It came in it came in after midnight, and so it was untimely.
Okay.
And according to the procedural rules that were submitted, the mayor and council were to submit a decision by April the 7th.
Correct. And so it I have to remain consistent with our rules of decorum. That response, those two gentlemen's response that was written in an email, we'll make that just part of record in our efforts to comply with the decorum at the next council meeting. Is that acceptable, Mr. City Attorney?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. That's what we'll do.
In addition, Mr. Mayor, if I may add, in the attorney's response to my email, I think the concern was we only had 2 hours to conduct this hearing. And so therefore, in her response,
I think we need to take the balance of this conversation to executive session. We're getting into
we can't discuss it because Mr.
Actually, I'm not going to discuss it. It's just that a point.
I understand, but you're discussing an item, Mr. Whitmore.
We need to take the balance of this conversation respectfully to executive session.
Well, I'm willing to do that.
Okay, so we'll do an executive session at the end of the meeting.
Okay.
Okay. At this time, we have public comment. Ms. City Clerk, do we have any members? Do we have any people that wish to speak?
No, sir.
No public comment.
No, sir.
At this time, we've already adopted the city agenda. So at this time, we'll go straight to our city council agenda, Mr. City Manager.
Well, actually, the first item is Mental Fitness 21 Centered Learning Inc. Usage agreement. This is a request for mayor and council to review and approve the usage agreement for Mental Fitness 21 Century Learning Inc. for summer camp 2022 summer camp program. This is from Parks and Recreation.
Okay. Ms. Payne will present on this item.
Okay. Yes. Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes,
ma'am. Yes. Yes. Hi, good morning. The item that you have before you is for Mental Fitness 21st Century Learning to approve the usage agreement for summer of 2022. Mental Fitness has been with us for 6 years. You may have noticed that the contract looks a little bit different than years previous. This is only for the summer 2022. We have plans to do a request for proposal in the future since we are at that 6 year mark to just as best practices to see which vendor works best for the city of Fairburn. There was an increase to the contract as well of $15.90. We are requesting to approve this usage agreement for Mental Fitness 21st Century Learning for their 2022 summer camp. And it's an 8-week summer camp.
Okay. Members of Council, you have before you a request for Mayor Council review and approve a usage agreement for Mental Fitness 21st Century Learning, Inc. 2022 Summer Camp Program. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilman Heath.
Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem. Second, Mayor Pro Tem.
Motion been made and seconded. And are there any questions?
Yes.
Go ahead, Ms.
Councilwoman
Davis.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Payne?
Yes.
Yes. I wanted to know what was the square footage of this space. I see where the rent is $2,340 mm-hmm. per month, and that's for June and July. So what is the square footage of space they are renting?
Okay, I'll start with just kind of the breakdown of the spaces that are included in the contract. So the spaces that are included are the court building. I'm sorry. The educational campus, the space that's utilized right up front, and also the youth center are within that. It's $1,440 for the youth center, $500 for that space at the college, and then $400 for miscellaneous supplies as well as janitorial supplies. I'll have to lean on Mr. Harvey Stokes for that exact square footage of those spaces.
Okay, so if you this amount did not come about by just square footage, rental square footage space then?
No, the amount okay. was create the amount was generated by our normal approved fee schedule and also doing a reduction to keep in mind for affordability for the vendor to keep his registration rates and participation rates lower.
Okay, so the amounts that you just shared with me equals up to the $2,340.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other questions, Mr. Whitmore?
Yes, Mayor. Before I even start with the litany of things that I'm going to talk about, I would like first like to mention the fact that past practice history in the city of Fairburn is when a council person has a project that that department head, in this case, department head and city administrator would share the things that they are trying to do with that particular program. There was only two programs that had been brought, well, three, but you only have two people currently on council that have had programs in the city of Fairburn. That would be Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones and myself. Currently, mine is the only program that a council person has brought to the city that's still viable. As a matter of fact, Mayor, this came in during your tenure, your last 2 years in office. And as a matter of fact, I remember very candidly having a conversation with you and Mr. John Childs out of Duncan Park. And you asked a couple of key questions. And once he responded, you realized that he was legit and that he had all of his ducks in one row. And you really started pushing that, as well as our previous city attorney who had conversations with Mr. John as well. And actually made a comment, and I quote, this is one of the best programs that ever came to the city of Fairburn. In light of that, what we developed here is a partnership with the STEAM program in the city of Fairburn. And I heard that the department head was talking about going out for a, give me a second, I got it in my notes somewhere. Help me out here, going out for RFP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's my understanding that there's no public funds being expended here. What's going on here is that the vendor, which is a nonprofit vendor, is actually paying the city for the use of building. And on top of that, the vendor has been very, very proactive in keeping with the mandates that I put in place of making sure that we kept the rates low so that we have families that can't afford to send their kids to such a high level program can still do so. So now I'm going to go down the litany of things that I have here because I was not privy to any conversations going on by the department head or the city administrator. So history has been, it is a nonprofit organization that has been in the city for 6 years. And we were looking at doing a 1 to 2 year contract. All right. This is the only contract that the city had in place during COVID where the vendor was still paying, but not utilizing the facility, because we could not allow children to come into the facility. But yet and still, he was hopeful that things would lighten up and we can get going again. But that didn't happen. And then to see us going from a rate of what he was paying before to four times that amount, that was astonishing to me, especially since all this time, the facility manager is the one that made the offer of what that entity should be paying. So now let's break that down even further. So during the pandemic, from March to October of 2020, rent was being paid voluntarily. And then in August of 2021, when it was restarted, it was only started with a virtual program where teachers were only allowed to come into the facility to do their lesson plans so that they can do what they needed to do virtually. Still, making his payments and keeping his contractual obligation to the city. Then also in August through May, August of 2021 to May of this year, they were still doing virtually. And then in August of 2021 through May, that was virtual. And then in June of 2021, when we started allowing children back in the facility, we only did it at half capacity, but he still paid the same rent. That's interesting. As I move down further, let's talk about the cost of a program like this. You're looking at, historically, $85 a week for people to be paying to go to a program like this. We were only charging $65. During the summer, it's a $300 a month payment. We were only charging $100. And again, the reason for that is we wanted to ensure that this great program stayed here within the city of Fairburn. Moving on, in addition, this program also supported Duncan Park Pool, where all of our summer participants paid the fee to go swim in the pool. Partnership. You get my theme? On top of that, there was grants and contributions that was made to this entity so he can offer scholarships for even those that could not afford to pay. Again, partnership with the city of Fairburn. So 2 years under you, Mayor Avery, 4 years under Mayor Hirsch, now currently under this current administration, to come up with what I see here now without any communication with the person that actually brought this to the city, I find it offensive in a sense. And then on top of that, just looking at going from a rent of $800 to $2,340. So now let's talk about that breakdown.
And Mr. Whitmore, I'm not trying to cut you off. I'm trying to abide by the rules of decorum. Since we have a short agenda, I've clocked you at 5 minutes. That was after you said you had a litany. I want to let you continue.
And the rules of decorum, Mayor, is for when we have our closing comments. It has nothing to do with item that's on the floor.
Sir, I'm just simply like, in this case, again, we'll go over that more, but I want to make sure that you're aware in case, go ahead. But I want to let you know, go ahead.
I am aware, and I'm also aware that that's for closing comments, not for things that are on the floor for discussion.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
So then when you look at the youth center breakdown of $1,440 a month, GMC $500 a month, and then for the supplies of $400 a month, keeping in mind that vendor was buying his own supplies and putting it in the building that was also being used by staff. But we're gonna charge him $400 for supplies, all right? And then with GMC $500 and then $1,440 a month for the gym area. And now you're taking him out of the office space where he has a lot of things that is locked up. And now he's gonna have an office space from what I'm reading in the gymnasium. So that brings a lot of concern to me when you have a program that is as important as this, where parents have already verbalized that this is a great program for the city. And now it seems like we're trying to push the program out of the city. And I really take offense to that. I would like to see us coming back to the table and sitting down and having a real discussion and being fair across the board. Especially when I hear of we want to do a calculation of a 90% fee reduction. What is that? What is that when we are already at base bottom and trying to survive? I don't understand that. And I know, I think Mr. John Childs is on the line. And when I saw the emails that was forwarded to me today, And there were questions being asked for clarity. And the email response only came through today, prior to this meeting. So there's a lot of discussion that has been going on behind the scenes. I was not asked a question in reference to it. And that surprises me, especially when, if we look back prior to 6 years ago, the program that we had in the city was a Fulton County program. They had more employees working than they had kids coming through there. Now it's the reverse. I don't get it. I think there needs to be some more discussion about this. And my last comment is on this part, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Let me do that. I'm wrong. I'm used to the city attorney when he's going to put his John Henry or something on something. I figured looking at the contract, it would be approved, not as approved as to form. So does that mean that this is not inconducive with a good contract for the city, or is it a good contract for the city? By reading that, it led me with questions and I had no answers. So there's a lot of things that I think that I would be willing to sit down and have a conversation with the city administrator, as well as the city attorney and also the department head. I don't know if I'll get a second, but I will put a substitute motion in, because I am standing for the citizens and the kids that come to this program throughout the city of Fairburn and surrounding communities, because this is the best program out there. My substitute motion would be, if we can hold this to give us an opportunity to come back to the table and let's have a real discussion about this before voting on something of this magnitude with all these things that I identified as major concerns.
There's a substitute motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any questions as regard of the substitute motions?
Mayor Pro Tem Portis Jones, mm-hmm. I agree with the substitute motion as well. However, Mr. Whitmore, my colleague, I think you're interjecting some issues that really aren't relevant to the contract. And some of them tend toward being personal in nature. And I have a problem with that as well. So let's stick to the issues of the contract, the issues of the program. I totally, totally agree with that. I am in full support of it. I was one of its initial endorsers as well. So I agree that we should do our best in holding on to the program and making it a success. But I want to state for the record that the personal comments that you've made in terms of how you thought you were treated when there have been incidences where other colleagues have been treated the same way. But neither here nor there, that is irrelevant to this contract. And so I want to make sure that we stick to the facts and to the issues of the contract and not to any personal issues relative to you.
Any other comment?
Sir Mayor.
Yeah, I was going to ask Mayor, can I ask add in some information, or do we wait to the next council? Because I just wanted to add in some information with the pricing as well as with our partnership, how it currently is.
I think that's what I want to go ahead.
Okay. So yes, that is the reason why we definitely want to do a RFP. As you look at the agreement now, we have a lessee-lessor relationship. We want to actually turn this more into a partnership and not just a lessee-lessor relationship right now. When Mental Fitness first started, they started at a price of $90 per week. They are now this summer at $150 per week per. So that's a $3,600 increase. Right now, typically for recreation departments and partnerships with vendors. It's normally on a percentage split of either 70-30, 80-20, 60-40. Right now, we are receiving 6%, 6.5% of that. We feel like we took the steps needed to make sure we did a very fair price with a 90% reduction in our fee schedule fee, which got to that $1,440 fee that you see stated.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Go ahead, sir.
So additionally, as it relates to how this item ended up on tonight's agenda, the agreement as I read and understood it, and as was sent and routed through the city attorney's office prior to getting on tonight's agenda, is an agreement with the city of Fairburn. Being relatively new to the city, I typically don't approach operational items as belonging to one council member or another. Mm-hmm. If it's a city agreement, I bring it forward for the city council to give us direction as to whether to approve it or not. So with all due respect, Mr. Whitmore, I didn't know this was your program, and that's why I didn't approach it that way. That's typically not how I would approach an operational issue. In terms of the rates involved, I have an extensive parks and recreation background. I've managed parks and recreation departments for a number of years. What I can tell you is the standard that Ms. Payne just referenced of 80-20 normally being a best practice minimum is consistent across most agencies. Originally, we were receiving only 6% of the revenue being generated by the program. So I recognize that there are rooms to have negotiations. I'm more than willing to do that if that's the will of the council and can sit down and talk about best practice. I don't have any particular evaluation of mental fitness. I know they've done a good job here, and they may very well be the best fit for us going forward, but it's also a good due diligence practice to periodically conduct an RFP. There are a plethora of programs in the Metro Atlanta area, some that are outstanding. And so we want to make sure that we're providing the best services for the residents of Fairburn. And if mental fitness is that option, by all means, we certainly want to continue that. But it certainly is a good idea to do some due diligence to see what other programs are available and what other options we may need to consider in providing the best possible service for the city of Fairburn. This is the model that Parks and Recreation is currently using to provide after-school and summer camp program. It is not the only model that Parks and Recreation agencies use to provide these services. It's simply the one that we're currently using. And so this agreement is for the summer. It does allow them to retain, I believe, over 86% of the revenue they're generating is retained by the current vendor. And so that is well within best practice standards for Parks and Recreation, these types of agreements with nonprofit agencies that they retain well over 80% of the revenue generated from the program. As it relates to what they would charge during the pandemic, that was in the prior administration. I can't speak to that. I could tell you under my administration of the city, I would recommend amending those agreements if we were ever to shut down and shelter in place. I would not suggest having a vendor pay for a space they weren't occupying. So I'm not quite sure how that unfolded previously. But again, this is well within best practice for parks and recreation agencies. And I'd be more than happy to take council's direction. If there's a need to have more negotiation, we're certainly open to doing that.
Well, yeah, if I may respond to that, Mayor. Number one, I do recall coming into your office, I did mention the fact that I brought in the STEAM program to the city, as well as your director of rec, even before going over to the city of Fulton County, or the city of South Fulton, was very much aware. That being said, okay, that's here nor there. I know that when my colleague, Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones, had her program, she stayed very much in touch with it. We're not talking about operational, we're talking about consideration when you're looking at doing something other than. I took a lot of time in vetting this non-profit organization, along with Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones, Councilwoman Lydia Glaze, and Councilwoman Liz Hurst. So it's not something that just happened by chance. It happened by looking at where the program has been, how successful the program has been in another city, and watching how the program has even grown since being home base in the city of Fairburn, Chat Hills, going out to LA, all because of the good reputation that it has established here in the city of Fairburn. So I just want to be fair and equitable and at least present an argument to show that I appreciate everything that has been done on this vendor's part to keep the pricing low so that we can have a lot of our students, citizens, kids come and participate in the program. And let me also add, since the program has been here, it's been a partnership with REC, because then they started encouraging them to go over to various recreational programs that we have here within the city. So I just want to be fair and equitable across the board. And that's one of the reasons when I saw it on the agenda and I started reviewing everything that I needed to make these comments tonight, because there was an opportunity to do so prior to.
And Mr. Woodward, if I may comment, as we prepare to vote on the substitute motion, the great late Eva Darnell made a comment at Fulton County Government that she made this comment not just to the Board of Commissioners, she said to all legislators, all governments. She was referring to a program that my office would actually where help more minority and female business owners get not only free the county paid for it, free services for both legal and bonding. And her position was simple. As great as this program is done, we cannot allow somebody to corner the market. Those her words verbatim. And then her position was, as great as this company was, and they still are, their position is, she said, they should be given opportunity, the competition should be given opportunity to bid. If they turn out to give the best proposal, I totally concur. Again, I won't sit here and second guess Mr. Childs. He did a great job. And yes, I can attest to that. But as a person that's in the profession of procurement, I'm a firm believer that periodically, somewhere between 5 to 7 years at the max, the competition has to at least, the competition has to be at least given opportunity to bid. And again, that's no knock against Mr. Childs in any service, the truth be told, but that's a procurement policy that I believe that opens the door of fairness, as you put it, Mr. Whitmore. And again, all fairness, Mr. Childs, his program has done a great job. I still can't believe he was paying rent in the middle of a pandemic. That's a question that you ought to be asking Mayor Hirsch, why was he paying for that? Because I never would have had a person paying for facilities that they're not using. That's a disservice to him as a business owner. But that being said, my position is simply the procurement process is, we're not a corporation, we're a government. So the door has to open up periodically for us to, before request for proposal. I'm bringing back an item next month because the city council didn't get a chance to endorse as well as the competition. I'm not sure how it worked out. I wouldn't dare disrespect Mayor Hirsch and said it wasn't a fair competition. I needed to know the city council agrees that it was fair competition. So that's why I'm bringing it back. But again, there's a substitute motion on the floor. If there's, is there all in favor, say aye.
Well, Mayor, further discussion.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Yes, and I don't know if this is the appropriate point, but best practices also says that performance evaluation should be part of any contract. So I'm asking that from this point forward, that be included with contracts, what the performance expectations are and the evaluation of that performance at some point during the contract.
And that's a practice that several governments, I can vouch for, the county has that for various types of scope of services. So again, that's more than acceptable. Ms. Davis, you had a question.
No, I was ready to vote.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Seeing that there's no other questions, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nay.
All opposed? I'm sorry.
Nay. Nay. Nay.
Okay, I got
yes, it. I'm opposed.
Okay, that's the Mr. Palin. And
yes,
because I can't see you. Okay, and as well as I had another day.
Mr. Mayor, can you do a roll call so I can see
okay. You? Yeah. Yeah, let me just do a roll call.
And please restate the motion, the substitute motion.
Substitute motion was to hold this item, come bring it back to the table and come back with all of my issues to be discussed.
All right, I'll go roll call. Mr. Whitmore?
Yay.
Mr. Smallwood?
Yay.
Ms. Portis Jones?
Yay.
Ms. Linda Davis?
Nay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I missed one. And Mr. Pat Palin?
Nay.
Okay. That
Heath. You missed
Mr. Heath.
Mr. Heath, I thought I had Mr. Heath third. Okay.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. That, if I'm correct, Ms. The motion carries, correct?
Right. Mr. Heath, Mr. Whitmore, Mr. Smallwood, and Mr. Jones were all yes.
Okay. That motion carries.
Mm-hmm.
Next item.
The next item is the usage agreement for youth center parking. This purpose is to request for the mayor and council to review and approve the rental agreement with GPAT Green for the use of 129 West Broad Street for the City of Fairburn Youth Center daily and event parking. This is also from Parks and Recreation.
Hello. Hello, Mayor and Council. What you have is usage agreement for the Youth Center parking lot. This parking lot is located at 129 West Broad Street, which is located adjacent to the Youth Center. It provides us 16 additional parking spaces as well as grass parking. Due to the activities inside of the Youth Center, the after school program, summer camp, we need the additional space because we are so closely located to the fire station. We are asking for Mayor and Council to approve the rental agreement between GPAT Green and the City of Fairburn for use of the parking lot located at 129 West Broad Street for the term of the lease.
Okay, members of Council, you have before you a request for Mayor and Council to review and approve the rental agreement with Pat Green for the use of 129 West Broad Street for the City of Fairburn Youth Center daily and event parking. Is there a motion?
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Heath.
Mr. Heath, second that motion. Is there any questions or comments?
Yes, Mayor.
Go ahead, Ms. Mayor.
Yes, I wanted to get clarification on overnight parking on the parking lot. Are we subletting or subcontracting for overnight parking?
No, we're not. We're trying to manage that. Right now, the only vehicles that are parked there overnight are two mental fitness vans, which they use for transportation for after school and summer camp, as well as Fulton County School System police vehicles. There was an overflow over at the police department building, so they are parking over there. We are trying to, it's been an issue of just trying to make sure we clear out that lot. PD has been working with us if we've noticed cars that have been parked there overnight or for a substantial amount of time.
All right, thanks for that clarification.
Ms. Davis, someone has had a question. Ms. Davis, was it you?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Any other questions by members of council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, I will have the city administrator's report.
Don't we have another item?
No, that item was removed.
Oh, that's the one. Sorry.
Good evening. I wanted to share with the members of our council, as well as those citizens who are viewing this evening's meeting, the following statement. The mayor has requested that the city attorney conduct a comprehensive review of the concerns of homeowners related to various properties built by Marmos Properties in the Durham Lakes community. In order to conduct a complete and thorough investigation, working collaboratively with the city administrator's office, the city attorney is reviewing voluminous documents and all related city ordinances and Georgia law related to the building process for the subject homes. Once those files have been reviewed and analyzed, the city attorney will interview homeowners, city staff, and any building professionals involved in the construction of the subject homes. A legal opinion will be delivered to the governing body for purposes of advising the city on a path forward to help the homeowners address these critical concerns. The health and safety of our residents is a top priority of the mayor and council. Please be assured that we are working diligently, working to facilitate a resolution of these issues at the earliest opportunity. We will provide an update as soon as one is available. Thank you.
That concludes your report. At this point, I'll start with city council comments. I'll start with Mr. James Whitmore.
I spoke enough for tonight. No comment, Mayor.
No comment? Okay, at this time, Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Porter-Jones.
No comments, Mayor.
At this time, Mr. Councilmember Smallwood.
I don't have any comments. Thank you.
Okay. At this time, Councilmember Alex Heath.
No comment.
At this time, Councilmember Linda Davis.
No comments, Mayor.
Okay. This time, Councilmember Pat Palin.
No comment.
And I believe I did disregard anyone, right? Correct. No. All right. With that being said, I'd like to entertain Mr. City Attorney. I want to just make sure I label this right. We're going in an executive session to discuss
litigation.
Okay. Can I entertain a motion to go in an executive session to discuss the litigation?
So moved, Councilman Heath.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Whitmore.
Mr. Whitmore, the second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries.
We're going to need Jack Hancock and Lester Thompson in this executive session for purposes of the first issue.
Okay.
Give me 1 second. I'll be adding them in. You all are now going to executive session.
Okay. We are now back in regular session. There's no voting or anything that's needed. So at this point, Mr. City Attorney, I can make a motion to adjourn.
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay, is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Portis Jones.
Okay, motion has been made and properly seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen.
Good night.
Have a blessed
evening. Great evening.
Good night.
Yes.
Good night.